Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study in biblical characters. Today, for consideration, we're going to take up the biblical character Barnabas. The title of today's study is Barnabas, A Good Man Misled. Barnabas and Paul had spent many years together as laborers. And now, in Acts chapter 15, verses 37 to 39, we find the last mention of the man Barnabas in the Word of God. Let's look at Acts chapter 15 together, if you would. The book of Acts, chapter 15. And in Acts chapter 15, let's look at verses 37 through 39. And Barnabas determined to take with them John Mark, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. So we see here that Barnabas, it says, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now the question that we should ask ourselves is, why was Barnabas no longer included in the record of God? What can we learn from his disappearance? First of all, let's look at some things about the man Barnabas. See what the Word of God has to say about this man. First of all, he was an unselfish man. He was an unselfish man. Turn with me to chapter 4 in the book of Acts. Chapter 4 with me. And look what it has to say in verses 36 and 37 about Barnabas. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here we see that Barnabas was an unselfish man. He sold land, amen, and he brought the money that the land went for, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. He gave it to the church. We also see that he was trusted by the local church. He was trusted by the local church. Look in Acts chapter 11 with me. In Acts chapter 11, let's look first in verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Then in verse 25 of Acts 11, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, verse number 30, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. We see here that the disciples had taken up a collection, amen, for relief under the brethren which dwelt in Judea, and they trusted Barnabas, who was with Saul, to take the love offering to those that were distressed, the brethren that were poor there in Judea. We also see that they sent Barnabas, amen. If we read in Acts chapter 11, verse 22, the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, amen, and they, it says, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And, of course, they trusted Barnabas. They went to see the church was being told that the Gentiles were getting saved, amen? So they wanted to check it out. And who did they send? Barnabas. He was trusted by the local church. Also, he finished the job set before him. He finished the jobs set before him. Look at in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, in verse number 25, we read, "And Barnabas and Saul returned for Jerusalem when they had finished their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." So we see that he finished whatever he was given to do. Amen. We also see that he was a co-laborer with the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 13, he was a co-laborer with the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Now there was in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So here we see that the church, instructed by the Holy Ghost to separate them for the work of the gospel, Barnabas and Paul. So Paul and Barnabas were co-laborers. Also, we see that Barnabas, he was Paul's first Christian friend. Amen. Looking in Acts chapter 9, we know Paul, before he was converted, was Saul of Tarsus, and he was saved on the road to Damascus. Amen. And in Acts chapter 9, in verse 26, we read, "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." And the reason for that, you have to remember, was that Paul the Apostle, when he was Saul of Tarsus, was a great persecutor of the church. In fact, he was on his way to Damascus. He had authority from the chief priests there to go and bring back Christians, amen, to be persecuted, amen, and prosecuted. And, of course, we know that Paul was at the stoning of Stephen. So no wonder the disciples were afraid of him. All of a sudden this man, Saul of Tarsus, is changed. But, they know his reputation from before. But look at what it says here about Barnabas in Acts chapter 9, verse 27. "But Barnabas took him," and that was Paul, "and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." So here we have Barnabas being a friend to Paul, where no one wanted to extend a right hand of fellowship here. We see that he went up and he testified, amen, for Paul, and said, "Yes, I've seen this man preaching and boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Yes, he, even despite all you've heard of what he did before, he's a changed man. He's been converted, amen. On his way to Damascus, amen, the Lord appeared to him. He had seen the resurrected Lord." Now, we also see the scriptures tell us that the man Barnabas, he was a humble man. Look with me in Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 11. Acts 14, verse 11. And we see here in Acts chapter 14 that a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leaped and walked. So what happened as a result of that? We see this healing of this man who couldn't walk at Lystra. And then we read here, as we're looking at the point that Barnabas, he was a humble man, in Acts 14, verse 11, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. So after the people saw that Paul had healed this man who couldn't walk, they supposed that Paul and Barnabas were gods that had come down. And then we read, look at what happens here in verse 13 of Acts 14. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands under the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. They were going to sacrifice as a result of what Paul and Barnabas had did in tribute to them. And then we see in verse 14, with which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." So we see the humility of Barnabas along with Paul, amen, to say, no, don't do this. Don't do this sacrifice in our honor, because we're just men like you are, amen. And it's God, amen, that did this miracle of this healing. And they said, the reason we did this is we preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities, the worshiping of these false gods, and turn from that into to the living God, the God who made, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are therein. So we see that he was a humble man, Barnabas. We also see that Barnabas, he was sound in doctrine. Sound in doctrine. Look with me in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, first in verse 2. In this chapter, we see that there were, in verse 1, it says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the disciples and said, "Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." So here we have some people teaching, telling the brethren they can't be saved except they be circumcised. They were putting people back under the Mosaic law for salvation. Now notice here in Acts 15, we just read verse 1 and verse 2. "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension in disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." Amen. So we see that they were sound in doctrine. They were going to go up and say, "Hey, you're wrong." They're going to go before the other apostles, to the elders and the apostles in Jerusalem. They're going to take this question where these people were teaching that you had to be circumcised in the manner of Moses, the Mosaic law, in order to be saved. And, of course, Barnabas and Paul said, no, that's wrong. So they take the issue to the elders and the apostles in Jerusalem. Look in verse 22 of Acts 15. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. In the chapter 15, of course, the apostles get together and they say that Jew and Gentile are saved alike in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And now they're choosing to send men to the Gentiles to proclaim, you know, to tell them that you don't have to be circumcised, you don't, to be saved, amen? So we see that they pick out Paul and Barnabas and Judas and Silas to bring forth this sound doctrine, teaching to the Gentiles. And then in verse 35 of Acts 15, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So that we see that they continued there in Jerusalem, in Antioch, teaching and preaching the sound doctrine, telling the Gentiles, amen, that they're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that he was sound in doctrine. Now, something else, he was accorded the place of an apostle by Paul. He was accorded the place of an apostle by Paul. We have to turn now to 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we want to read from verses 3 to 6. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 3. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? Or I only, and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Amen. So we see that he is according the place of an apostle, Barnabas, amen, by Paul. We also see, now we want to turn to, we've seen a bunch of things about Barnabas. Now we want to turn and see Barnabas's sin. Let's turn first to Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2 with me. And in Galatians chapter 2, we want to look at verses 11 through 13 with me. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. We read in Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with this dissimulation. And so what we have here is Peter eating with the Gentiles, amen, eating what the Jews had considered unclean food, amen. And then when the James and some of the other Jews came, amen, he left them because he didn't want to be found out, amen, by the Jews, by the circumcised, amen. And others followed him. He caused others to stumble, and according also Barnabas, amen. Barnabas, who was with Peter, and some of the other Jews were eating with the Gentiles that the many of the Jews considered unclean food, amen. And of course, now under the New Testament, amen, and the revelation that was given to Peter, that God had come to Peter in a vision there in Acts chapter 10, that nothing that God had created was unclean, that Peter could eat any food that he wanted. Basically, the dietary laws of the Old Testament, the Mosaic laws, were done away with, amen, under the New Testament, amen. So we see that Barnabas sinned in following Peter's error, amen. Peter was a hypocrite. Here he is eating with the Gentiles, and then some of the circumcisions come, and he separates himself like he wants nothing to do with them, and Barnabas followed suit. Look at also with me in Acts chapter 15. Go back to Acts chapter 15. And in Acts chapter 15, we want to see here in verses 37 to 40. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark, sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So here we see, amen, the situation. Remember prior to this, John, Mark, was with Paul and Barnabas, and he left them in Pamphylia. And now Barnabas says to Paul, okay, we're going on another missionary journey. Let's take John Mark along again. And Paul says, no way. Don't you remember what he did? He left us. Amen. And so Barnabas kept pressing the issue, and Paul said no. So they split up. Barnabas took John Mark and went their way, and Paul and Silas, Paul picked Silas, and they went their way. See? So we see here the sin, Barnabas' sin, right? Amen? Barnabas was carried away by the dissimulation of the Jews. Dissimulation literally means a feigned or pretended action. So Barnabas was carried away or deluded by the pretense of some false friends that caused him to commit the act that is recorded in Acts chapter 15, verse 37, where he argued with Paul, who had been given the leadership in the group. He argued with Paul in determination to take Mark. In fact, Mark was Barnabas' nephew. Look with me in Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, in verse number 10, we read, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescian to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." Then he goes on and he says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable," amen, "for profitable to me for the ministry." Let me go to Colossians. Amen. To show you that that John Mark was Barnabas' nephew, we read in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, "Tychicus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus," that's another name for Mark, "sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him." So here we see later on Paul accepts John's Mark. John Mark is fit for the ministry, and he's accepted by Paul, and he's redeemed himself here later on. But here we see that he is Barnabas' sister's son, amen, his nephew. Now, let's look at the third point of our message. We've looked at the man Barnabas and seen some things about him. We've seen his sin and how he got in there with Peter and allowed Peter to have nothing to do with the Gentiles when those of the Jews showed up with James, amen. And he argues with Paul, and Paul and him split up. Now let's look at the third point of our study, is the preventative. The preventative. If we are to refrain from doing things that caused this good man to fall, then the best thing for us to do is decide that there are some things to which we may listen and some things to which we dare not. If you go through the concordance, take Strong's Concordance, you will find that there are some things about which God tells the speakers, "Hold thy peace." And of course, let's compare a couple of places in Scripture for the definition of "hold thy peace." Let's look in first in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, in verse number 40, we read, "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these stones hold their peace," let me read that again, Luke 19:40, "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace," talking about the folks there at Jerusalem when the Lord entered on the foal of a colt's ass, he says, "If I tell you," Jesus said, "that if these should hold their peace, the stones would cry, would immediately cry out." Now look it with me in Titus chapter 1 with me. Titus chapter 1. And in Titus chapter 1 in verse 11, Titus 1:11, we read, "Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake." So basically, hold thy peace literally means shut your mouth. Hold thy peace, amen, so as not to interrupt a preaching service. These are times when we need to hold our peace. For example, let's turn to Zephaniah. Zephaniah with me. In Zephaniah, we want to look at chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1 with me. In verse number 7, we read, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests." Amen. Also in Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 with me. In verse number 17, we're told, "But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place." And, of course, here is a reference to Peter, amen, and how the angel of the Lord got him out of prison, amen. Then we see another place where we need to hold our peace in interrupting a preaching service is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 with me, in verse number 30. 1 Corinthians 14:30. "If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace." Amen. These are all places where we need to hold our peace as not to interrupt a preaching service. Amen. We need to hold thy peace when an improper person is talking about God. Look at in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, we want to see verses 23 to 25. We read, And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him and said, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. So here's a time where you hold thy peace when an improper person is talking about God. So we're running out of time here on our study in Barnabas, and we're beginning to look at times when we need to hold thy peace to keep our mouth shut, amen. And once again, when we pick up again on the pastor's study, we'll continue to look at these things, and then we'll close out our study on Barnabas, a good man misled. And until we meet again on the pastor's study, this is Pastor Gino Cassieri thanking each and every one of you for joining me today. Until we meet again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.